Translation. Urva, she said, my dear king, seek shelter of the Gandharvas, for they will be able to deliver me to you again. In accordance with these words, the king satisfied the Gandharvas by praise, and the Gandharvas, being pleased with him, gave him an Agni Stali girl, who looked exactly like Urvashi. Thinking that the girl was Urvashi, the king began walking with her in the forest. But later he could understand that she was not Urvashi, but Agni Stali. Urvashi said, responsively please,
My dear king,
seek shelter of the Gandharvas,
for they will be able to deliver me to you again.
In accordance with these words, the king satisfied the Gandharvas by praise. And the Gandharvas, being pleased with him, gave him an Agni Stali girl who looked exactly like Urvashi. Thinking that the girl was Urvashi, the king began walking with her in the forest. But later he could understand that she was not Urvashi, but Agni Stali. Purport. Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Pururava was very lusty. Immediately after getting the Agni Stali girl, he wanted to have sex with her. But during sexual intercourse, he could understand that the girl was Agni Stali, not Urvashi. This indicates that every man attached to a particular woman knows the particular characteristics of that woman during sex life. Thus, Pururava understood during sexual intercourse that the Agni Stali girl was not Urvashi. So, it's a nice, interesting verse. Reminds me, I trained to teach biology, and every year as a student, they used to get the students to teach the reproductive system because they didn't like doing it. So we've got a very interesting verse here, and we can see that the Srimad Bhagavatam is not shy to talk about things that would be considered very intimate or even a little taboo. They're talking about something where, you know, it's talking about the most intimate exchange between two people. And it's not done in a way to evoke people's lust. It's actually done to smash their lust by talking about this great king who was actually meant to set a wonderful example to the people. Yajyad artarati stristas tad tadevi tarojana sayat pramanam kute lokas tadanavartate. Whatever example a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So he was actually meant to be in a position where he was above being completely dictated to by sense gratification. But here he is, appearing to be a complete idiot. He doesn't even know that the woman he's been meditating on and lusting after and putting his own image of himself with this woman, he doesn't even realize that it's the wrong one. So it kind of makes a complete fool of the whole situation. They walk together in the forest. Did they not talk? Did they not exchange some pastimes and conversation? How are you? Did he not even look at her properly in the sense of who she was? He was so blindly overcome by lust, he was just thinking about getting, you know, very intimate with her. And this is, you know, really so impersonal. He wasn't really seeing her as an individual soul. He definitely wasn't seeing her as a servant of Krishna who he was trying to enlighten. He wasn't trying to engage her in devotional service or to elevate her in any way whatsoever. He was completely just trying to exploit her. And at the beginning, actually, it was
Urvashi who had exploited him. She heard about him. She came. She trapped him. She used him. When she was finished with him, she just, well, that's it. You know, I had enough. I'm going back up to, you know, where Indra wants me in the heavenly planets. So he was used and he was a complete fool. And this is basically all of our position in the material world. We get attracted to things. We get attached to things. We get involved in things. We go along this path which completely destroys us. So he spent his whole time seeing himself with this heavenly girl. His whole persona became that of a person who is associating with this heavenly girl. He wasn't the only one to do this. We've got the story of King Shantanu and Ganga. She said, yes, I'll be with you, I'll be your wife, but if you ever cross me, that's it, I'm gone. I'm, you know, the women are setting the rules. The women are saying, this is, you know, you can have me, but if you, this dervish, she said, if you don't protect my two little lambs, then, you know, I won't stay with you. And if you ever appear naked to me, then I'm off, I'm finished. So she almost set him up at the beginning, knowing she probably knew that it wasn't going to be a long-term relationship where they were married, where they were bringing up their children in a Krishna-conscious way. But he was completely agreeing to her rules. Okay, I surrender to your rules. I'll do whatever you say. For just that tiny little bit of sense gratification once a year. So, you know, how can we become so covered? To be a king, you have to have a certain amount of intelligence. How was it that his intelligence was so covered over? Because karma esha krodha esha raja guna samudbhava mahashino mahapamam vijinam iha vairinam. This lust is our greatest enemy. It is something which it definitely can destroy us. So it's happening to everybody in the material world. And the difference between the way that the Srimad Bhagavatam presents this story and the way that modern society presents this story is that modern society and all the media is actually trying to hype up this image of how wonderful this relationship between man and woman can be. It's actually encouraging people. In India, they say it takes the whole village to bring up a child. In other words, everyone is going to be influenced by everybody else around them. So because of the way the mass media is, you know, we've got very small children being influenced by absolutely horrible things that are way beyond their understanding. They're encouraged to dress in a provocative way at the age of, you know, 6 or 7. And it's actually setting them on a path for total misery and destruction and absolute unhappiness. And to actually see through that, we need higher knowledge. The other personality in this story, Agni Starley, she's almost portrayed like a kind of cardboard cutout. Agni Starley means the girl born from a fire. So she's not even really given a proper name. She's just the girl born from fire. And she obviously has willingly chosen to take part in this little episode. So does she have no self-esteem? Does she not care? Obviously, Urvashi doesn't actually care at all about Puru Rava. She sent someone else in her place. She doesn't want to have anything to do with him. But this girl, there's a story in Prabhupada Lilamrita where very, very early days, Srila Prabhupada was told that one of the young bhaktins had become intimate with one of the young men. And he said to her, have you got no self-respect? How can you sell yourself so cheaply? And modern society is not even really given to young children that, you know, you have self-respect, boys and girls, men and women. You have self-respect. You save yourself for a religious act, and you don't just sell yourself so cheaply. Apparently, There are, you know, many cases of young girls at university, and they maintain themselves by prostitution. So these are people who are going to university, are going to have so-called high-class jobs like doctors or teachers, and they have actually no personal standard themselves, just like King Pururava. He's just a plaything at the hands of this heavenly woman. So King Pururava, he's obviously very handsome. He's rich. He's in a position of controlling and managing. And yet, he is completely at the hands of a woman who doesn't actually care about him. And there's no question of him bringing up his children. He doesn't even see them. He's becoming very, very unhappy. And because he's blind to his actual self, he's not actually thinking about his own good. He's not thinking about why he's happy. His view of himself has become completely limited. Not at all thinking how to expand his consciousness. His consciousness has become completely shrunken to this one-pointed desire for expressing his lust. We're all conditioned, and obviously there was something that happened to him to make him so conditioned. If we're in a situation where we're hearing and where we're practicing proper standards, this actually can't happen. When we become isolated, when we contemplate the objects of the senses, and we don't take shelter of Krishna, or we try to run these things at the same time as our Krishna consciousness, then Prabhupada says that we can become actually very, very degraded. And in Bhagavad Gita, the process of degradation is explained in those verses, Dayato Vishayampum Sam Sangas Cheshu Bajayate. By contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops. So it means, you know, you may glance at something and you may think something is very beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada himself would do this. Walking by the Jamuna one day, there was a young girl with a water pot on her head. And he said, you know, she's very beautiful. There was obviously nothing impure in his thoughts, but to think we can't recognize beauty or we can't appreciate beauty in the material world is wrong. But as soon as we start to think, well, that's for my pleasure, then that's the first step into us falling down. If we can always remember that we are part of Krishna, Krishna says, Prakriti Kriyamanani, every single person, every fragment of every atom in this universe belongs to me. And if we can remember that and not begin to think that is for my pleasure. So Urvashi, she had her pleasure and then she was finished with it. But Pururava wasn't able to cut that connection. He had so much embedded this image of himself in his mind that he was completely, he'd completely fallen down into the material pool. He was completely lost. His real intelligence had absolutely no chance of rising above this situation. It was completely covered. There's relationships which are for sense gratification, there's the greatest form of cheating. Prabhupada said that in India, young women who want to become intimate with a sannyasi, they'll go to certain festivals, they'll go to certain areas where the sannyasis are. And falsely dressed sannyasis, who aren't sannyasis at all, will pick out these women, and they're cheating each other. You know, He's not a sannyasi. He's simply gone there in a false dress to pick up a woman. And the woman is so stupid that she thinks, you know, I'm going to have a child by a sannyasi. But actually, he's just some local yobbo who's dressed up as a sannyasi. He's cheating. So in many ways, this relationship between men and women in the material world, it can be a greatly cheating thing. That both parties pay an incredible price for the little bit of sense gratification that they get, unless it's a genuine, compassionate and caring relationship. Urvashi, you may think, oh, she's a little bit compassionate. She has some, she feels a little bit sorry for him. So she agrees to, even though she's not interested, she agrees to see him once a year. So if we think that's compassion, it's actually just, you know, pouring a little bit of ghee on the fire, just making the wound deeper. Real compassion would be to completely cut from him. And she did tell him, actually, you know, this is what women are like. They just use you and then they walk off. She did tell him that. But because he was so attached, he couldn't even hear that. But real compassion would have been not to have seduced him in the first place. But having done that and having used him and having been finished with him, rather than just send an imitation of herself, it would have been better to have cut the whole thing and given him a chance to suffer deeply and really feel the pain of the loss. And at that point, maybe something would have clicked in his mind. Okay, happiness and distress, I felt a little happiness, and now I'm feeling an incredible amount of distress. I wonder why that is. It may have given him a chance, but hanging it on year after year, she wasn't actually compassionate. It wasn't a really very kind concession at all. It was, you know, she'd gone, really, from that situation. The little bit of enjoyment that we get from material pleasure causes, you know, the greatest type of suffering. And those who are intelligent do not partake in these things. Yehi samsparsha jaboga dukha yona yevate ajyantavanta kuntaya nate shuramate Buddha. They don't, an intelligent man, a Buddha, does not take part in the sources of misery. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and a wise man does not delight in them. There's a little story, you know, I've heard it in Buddhism, I've heard it in Krishna consciousness. It's quite a widely used story to give the example of material suffering. There's the story of the man who's being chased by a tiger, and he runs to get away from the tiger. He falls off the edge of a cliff. And he looks down and there's a tiger at the bottom. So there's a tiger at the top waiting to eat him. There's a tiger at the bottom waiting to eat him. And he just manages to clench onto a branch of a tree. And then he looks up and he sees some little mice chewing the... So the misery is coming from every side. Either that one's going to get me or that one's going to get me. I'm just going to fall and smash my body. And then a little drop of honey drops from the tree. And he thinks, ah, that tastes wonderful. How can you enjoy when so much agony and the little taste of honey, that little drop of honey, oh, it's gorgeous. I'm sure we've all had the experience on Sankirtan. These books are meant to make you happy. I am happy. I'm already happy. And, you know, in such an angry voice, I'm already happy. Who do you think you are to tell me I'm not happy? Because in the same way that Pururava was thinking, this is my happiness. He wasn't seeing this is my misery, although he was feeling misery, but at the time he was thinking this is my happiness. And all of us in the material world, until we've come to a higher realization, are thinking, if I just get this, I'll be happy. If I just get that, I'll be happy. And we get completely lost in contemplating the next thing that will make us happy. Of course, the real thing that will make us happy is to find real love. And that is our constitutional nature to be loved and to love. That is who we actually are. We're meant to find love. And this is why everyone in the world is running around trying to find love and absolutely confusing it with lust. But there is real love in the material world if we find devotees that we can do service with. We can feel genuine affection and genuine love. And we ultimately come to the point where we feel the love that Krishna has for us and the love that we have for Krishna. And then actually we can love absolutely everybody because we'll see that they're part of Krishna. And we have a completely sweet relationship with everybody. But then we have to check. These three characters were just exploiting each other completely, all three of them. In one sense, they were all completely impersonal. You know, the fact Purava didn't even recognize the girl. When we don't recognize each other properly, we're being very impersonal. When we have a slight tendency to exploit anybody else, even in the name of Krishna conscious service, we're being completely impersonal. And that's one of the greatest wrongs that we can do to people. It's wrong to exploit other people. It's wrong to have other people exploit us. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. So we have to check our own tendency for exploiting, for using other people, for getting things out of other people for ourselves. And probably to know that we do have that tendency still, even in a very small way. We probably all have that tendency. Oh, could you just do that for me? Or, and rather than thinking, what can I do for others? Thinking, you know, what can they do to help me in my service? We have to check that in ourselves very carefully. And we have to know that when other people are treating us in that way, that it's actually wrong. And we have to be very careful to protect ourselves and our Krishna consciousness, not to become resentful or unhappy. And one of the main things is to make sure that we're completely personal. I used to live in Vrindavan, and I give a famous monkey story because you can't have lived in Vrindavan and not give a monkey story. There was one day I was coming back from the corner fruit store with my bananas hidden. So, you know, what do monkeys do when they know you've got bananas? They jump on you. Somehow or other, I kind of shouted really loudly and the monkey ran off. And I thought, oh, great, you know, he didn't get all my bananas today. And then when I got home, we lived up on the third floor. I looked down and I could see some of my family's clothes on the floor, on the ground. So I walked up the three floors and I went on the balcony and my clothes, all of our laundry had been either torn or chewed or thrown. Now, this had never, ever happened before. The monkeys had never gone up there and taken my laundry before. And I thought, she had my address. She knew who I was. I don't know who she is. To me, all the monkeys are the same. They're just, you know, you know, I have to make sure that I don't do that to other people. Just see them as like this Urvashi. She's just like this Agni Stali. She's almost like a cardboard cutout. She's not given a personality. She's not given a name. And we have to make sure that, you know, in our own dealings with everyone, we're very, very personal. To not be able to recognize another person who's right in front of you, it is completely impersonal. There was one other funny thing that happened. Living in Vrindavan, people come for Kartik or they come for different seasons. So there was one woman from Ireland who came regularly. We used to go on Parikram together. And we became actually quite close. And many years later, she told me, she said, "I used to think you were really weird. Sometimes you would talk to me, and sometimes you'd walk straight past me like you didn't even know me. And then I found out that you had a sister. And I thought you were the same person." She thought that my sister was me, and she'd be really shocked when my sister would walk straight past her without saying hello, because she couldn't tell the difference between us. And when she found out and she got to know my sister, she said, "You're completely different. How could that happen?" So when we're dealing with other devotees in service, I think it's really good to be very personal and to see their needs and to make sure we don't exploit. And, you know, to be very, very careful, because this is basically what Krishna consciousness is about: forming loving relationships with devotees and then doing service to please Krishna and finding out who we really are. These people, they don't know who they are. They've got no idea. I mean, we may not know exactly who we are, but we know we're trying to find who we really are. But these people, they're not in the slightest bit interested. They're just simply completely stuck on this idea of sense gratification and making them all very unhappy.